This is hour number two of Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff, and a happy weekend to you wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Thank you so much for coming back for part two of the show. And today in the showcase, we have girl groups. Yeah, we're highlighting musical acts consisting of nothing but ladies. Well, of course, we also have the countdown, and today we've gone back to the final week of April in 1958. And that's where we resume on the Billboard Magazine Disc Jockey chart. Well, the record at number 9 that weekend was debuting on the countdown, and it would be a smash for the Everly Brothers.
Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream when I want you. In my arms when I want you. And all your charms whenever I want you. All I have to do. Dream, 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 dream when I feel blue in the night and I need you to hold me tight whenever I want you. All I have to do is dream. I can make you mine, taste your lips of wine. I'm dreaming my life away. I need you so that I could die. I love you so, and that is why whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream. Taste your lips of wine anytime, night or day. Only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life away. I need you so that I could die. I love you so, and that is why whenever I want you, all I have to do.
Phil and Don Everly, All I Have to Do is Dream. They were accompanied by Archie Blyer's orchestra and also the electric guitar of Chet Atkins. And it was debuting on the DJ chart this week at number 9, moving up to number 1, their second chart topper. And it would hold the highest position for 5 weeks. Not only did it top the Hot 100, but also the country chart and the R&B survey simultaneously. And that's the only single to ever have done that in the history of Billboard magazine. Now, the Everlys were on the Cadence label, founded by Archie Blyer. Well, Phil Everly would become Archie's son-in-law, actually step-son-in-law, in 1963 when he married Jackie Ertel. And his future mother-in-law was also on the countdown this week. At number 7, Janet Ertel and the Cordettes.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop.
Boom, boom, boom.
Kiss me till I can't see straight. Gee, my lollipop is great. I call lollipop.
The Cordettes, Carol Bushman, Lynn Evans, Margie Needham, and the aforementioned Janet Ertel, and Lollipop, song number 7 this week, 1958. That was moving down the chart after stalling at number 2. And they also fit in the showcase today because they are an all-girl group. It is late April 1958 on Today Seems Like Old Times, when the population of the USA was 174 million, and the president was Dwight Eisenhower in his second term. No doubt Ike was looking forward to a better 6-year in office than his fifth. In 57, there was a recession, which we finally got out of here in April of 58. There was the school desegregation disaster in Little Rock, Arkansas. The Russians launched Sputnik. And then, just before Thanksgiving, he suffered a minor stroke. And he struggled with some of the effects throughout the winter. But on March 1st, doctors declared that the president had fully recovered. And despite rumors that he might resign, Ike assured us he wasn't going anywhere.
First of all, about my physical condition, I've had 3 illnesses, with serious implications at least, and this, after a history of remarkable health throughout my lifetime. I am optimistic enough to say this, that as long as I'm able, I'm going to carry on just exactly as I have in the past and with no thought of it, and from there on, it's in the half of the lap of the gods, and that's that.
After Eisenhower left office, he admitted that, following the stroke, he had indeed considered resigning. But as we know, he finished his term and lived another 8 years after that. So Ike wasn't going anywhere, except to play golf this weekend at Augusta National, where he had a cottage near the 10th tee. Meanwhile, we stayed home and listened to the radio for that new singer at number 6 this week, Connie Francis.
Sorry now, whose heart is aching for breaking each bond, who's sad and blue, who's crying too.
I said that Connie Francis was a new singer. Well, to the general public, she had been around for quite a while. In fact, she appeared on Arthur Godfrey in 1950 and was already recording for MGM, but none of her singles did anything. Well, the label was going to end its contract with her after one final recording session in early October of 57. In her mind, she was already planning to go to college. She had a scholarship to NYU. She wanted to go into medicine. Well, the last recording she made that day was the 1923 song, Who's Sorry Now. Connie did not want to record it at all. She and her father got into a pretty heated argument about it, but she relented. Her dad thought it was going to be a hit, but she had little hope, and upon its release, it seemed to be another flop. However, there was one very important disc jockey who liked the song. His name was Dick Clark. And on January 1st, 1958, Connie was watching American Bandstand. It aired weekday afternoons back then. Well, she's sort of paying attention, listening to him go on about a new girl singer. And the next thing she hears is her version of Who's Sorry Now being played on national television. And I imagine in that living room there was a lot of jumping around and screaming at the time. Well, about 6 weeks later, she appeared on Dick Clark's other program, the Saturday Night Beach Nut Show. And just like that, Connie Francis was a worldwide star. That would be a million seller for the 21-year-old from Newark, New Jersey. And would you believe that it did not make it to number one? It peaked at number four, and it was at number six this weekend in 1958.
Host, P-O-S-T. Host, the cereals that happen to be just a little bit less.
Most any cereal is fine with me.
As long as you spell it
P-O-S-T. Cause all post cereals happen to be
just a little better.
A little bit better. A little bit better than any other cereal happens to be.
This weekend in 1958, a box of Post cereal was going for 28 cents. Put that in the inflation calculator and it's less than $3 today. And what are you paying for cereal today, $4 to $5? Well, I can't do much about the price, but I can throw in a freebie for you. A bonus track from this weekend, 67 years ago. The latest album by Edie Gourmet is titled Edie in Love.
Why shouldn't I take a chance when romance passes by? Why shouldn't I know of love? Why wait around when each age has a sage who has
Why Shouldn't I? There's Edie Gourmet from her album, Edie in Love, with the orchestra by Don Costa, and that LP was nominated for the Best Vocal Female Performance at the very first Grammy Awards. And that was an album we were listening to in the springtime of 1958, just as we are today, on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, our musical theme is girl groups. We're celebrating lady ensembles. And this trio of sisters was one of the biggest acts of the 50s. Here are the McGuire sisters.
My wonderful one, whenever I'm dreaming, your love light a-gleaming, I see. My wonderful one, how my arms ache hold you, to cuddle and fold you to me. Just you, only you, in the shadowy twilight, in silvery
Out of Miamisburg, Ohio, the McGuire sisters, Christine, Dottie, and Phyllis. They came to national prominence in December of 1951 when they were victorious on the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scout Show. And Godfrey liked them so much, he hired them to sing on his other programs, which they did for a number of years. And that was Wonderful One from their 1957 album, While the Lights Are Low, with the orchestration by Murray Kane. Well, next up, another sister group. This was the Driggs family. You didn't know them by that name. But you do recognize the King sisters.
Candy, I call my sugar candy, because I'm sweet on candy, and candy's sweet on me. He understands. Understanding candy, and candy's always handy. When I need sympathy,
I wish that there were four of him, so
just dandy, the day I take my candy and make him mine, oh mine.
I wish that there were four of him,
yum, yum, yum,
so I could love much more of him.
I want some.
He has taken my complete heart.
Got a sweet tooth, all for my sweetheart. Candy, it's gonna be so dandy, dandy when he names a day. I'll take my candy and make him mine. All mine, he's my candy.
The King sisters hailed from Pleasant Grove, Utah, and there were six sisters. Well, the first version of the group in the early 30s was a trio, Louise, Alice, and Maxine. Well, after a few years, Alice retired to home life, and she was replaced by Donna and Vonnie. Well, that was their most famous lineup and the one they had when they joined the Horace Heidt Orchestra. Well, Sister Louise married Alvino Ray, who was the guitarist for the Height Band, and when their rift happened and Ray left the band to form his own orchestra, well, the King Sisters came along. Well, they stayed busy performing on radio and movies and later TV, and then youngest sister Marilyn joined the group, and Maxine returned as well. Then in the 1960s, they had their own series on ABC, The King Family Show, which featured their husbands and children, 39 members in all. Well, there you heard just the four King Sisters from 1945 and Candy, and they were accompanied by the Buddy Cole Orchestra. Well, so far in our study of the girl groups, we've had nothing but vocal outfits. Well, here we've got an all-girl orchestra. This is Ina Ray Hutton and her Melodeers doing I'm 100% for You. Ina Ray Hutton. Her birth name was Odessa Cowan. Now she had a younger sister named June, who also adopted the stage name of Hutton. Yes, June Hutton, who did sing with her sister's orchestra for a while, but later she joined Charlie Spivak and then became part of the Pied Pipers with Tommy Dorsey. But Ina Ray was a star on her own. She led the all-girl group, the Melodeers. She and the band appeared in a number of movies, and she was easy to look at, usually in a shimmering evening dress. And they didn't record too many sides, but that was one of them in 1936. I'm 100% for You. And that was Ina Ray on the vocals. Now, this next all-girl group I did not know existed. I didn't even know I had some of their records. But I came across them in the music vault. These are the Pepperettes.
Put your shoes on, Lucy. Don't you know you're in the city? Put your shoes on, Lucy. It's really such a pity that Lucy can't go barefoot wherever she goes, 'cause she loves to feel the wiggle of her toes. Put your shoes on, Lucy, 'cause you're here in old New York. You'll get by all righty if you let them hear you talk. All the city slickers love that southern drawl,
so give them that, honey child.
I reckon so, y'all.
Lucy, let the good thing happen, Lucy. Why don't you stop that gaffing? How you act will be the death of me. Don't they have skyscrapers down in Tennessee? Put shoes on, Lucy, even though they kind of pinch. Stop walking, you gotta do some walking, that's a cinch. fighting manners. You need them and how? Put your shoes on, Lucy. You're a big girl now. Lucy got an invitation to visit in Manhattan with the highfalutin kin. Ordered from a catalog some fancy clothes. Looked so stylish from her head to toe. Saw every sight and she even did some flirting. Did all right till her feet took to hurting. She slipped off her shoes, she thought no one was near, but they saw her, cause this is something she would always hear. Lucy, you're such a lazy critter, you'd make a dandy babysitter. Every time you're walking down the street, you insist on stopping just to rest your feet. Put your shoes on, Lucy, even though they kind of pinch. Stop walking, you gotta do some walking, that's a cinch. Use your party manners, you'll need them at how. Put your shoes on, Lucy, you're a big...
But my feet hurt.
Girl.
And they pinch.
No!
Out of Nashville came the Pepperettes, three teenagers, Jackie Joslin, Evelyn Weather, and Joanne Polk. They won a talent competition on Horace Heights' radio show in February of 1949, and Heights signed them to a contract. They made a few records with the Musical Knights, and that was one of them. Put Your Shoes on, Lucy. It's Ladies' Night on today's Seems Like Old Times. This is Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff. Today, our stroll down memory lane has taken us back 67 years to April of 1958. And we're playing the biggest hits from that week as tabulated by the Billboard Disc Jockey chart. And checking in at number 5, it's Andy Williams.
Are you sincere when you say I love you? Are you sincere when you say I'll be true? Do you mean every word that my ears have heard? I'd like to know which way to go. Will our love grow? Are you sincere?
Are you sincere?
Are you sincere when you say you miss me? Which way to go? Will our love grow? Are you sincere?
The third top 10 record from the Cadence label this weekend in 1988. Andy Williams doing Are You Sincere? And of course, accompanied by Archie Blyer, that peaked at number 3. And now it's time for sports. In golf, Arnold Palmer won his first Masters. The victory was by one shot, and it came with controversy. On the par 3 12th hole, Palmer's tee shot landed behind the green and plugged. Arnie believed he was entitled to relief. That was a local rule in effect for that week. The ball was embedded. His playing partner Ken Venturi agreed, but the rules official on the scene did not. He said Arnie had to play without relief. An argument ensued, and Palmer eventually played the ball, gouging it out of the turf, and his chip went past the hole. He then two-putted for a double bogey. Venturi made par and took over the lead, or so he thought. Now, Palmer decided he was going to play a second ball because he thought the ruling was incorrect. So he dropped, got a clean lie, and wound up making par. Well, they played on until the 15th when the rules committee decided Palmer was right and gave him a 3 instead of a 5. Now, Venturi believed that Palmer played the second ball improperly, but the ruling stood, and Palmer finished one shot ahead of Doug Ford and Fred Hawkins. Arnold became the youngest to win the Masters, and writer Warren Wind of Sports Illustrated named the shots at holes 11, 12, and 13 as Amen Corner. Baseball, the Giants and Dodgers were now in California. And the Dodgers lost longtime catcher Roy Campanella in January. He suffered a broken neck in an early morning auto accident in Long Island. Thankfully, he survived, but his legs were permanently paralyzed. But the Dodgers, Giants, and everybody else in the National League wouldn't be able to catch the Milwaukee Braves again this year. The defending champs took the pennant again, but in October, the Braves squandered a 3-1 lead and lost to the Yankees in 7. In the NBA, St. Louis won the title, getting revenge on the Celtics after a heartbreaking double overtime defeat in the finals of 57. They took the series in 6, winning their 4 games by a total of 8 points. In the clincher, Bob Pettit scored 50. And in the NHL, Montreal easily won the regular season and then beat the Bruins in 6 games to win the Cup. And that's a check on sports from here in the spring of 1958. And we get back to the countdown now with a Los Angeles group at number 2. Here are the Platters.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist your voice is calling. 'Tis twilight time. When purple colored curtains mark the end of day, I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight time. Deepening shadows gather splendor as day is done. Fingers of night will soon surrender the setting sun. I count the moments, darling, till you're here with me. Together, at last, at twilight light. Here in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue air. In the sweet and same old way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, at twilight time. Here, in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath blue. Hey, in the sweet and same old way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Just to be with you, together, at last, at twilight time. Together, at last, at twilight time.
Twilight Time was a hit in the middle 40s for the Three Sons, and this week in 1958, it was at number 2 for the Platters, led by Tony Williams, along with Herb Reed, Paul Robey, David Lynch, and Zola Taylor. It would reach the top spot, making it their third number one and their fourth million seller. Let's get back to our showcase feature now, the girl groups. Here are the Paulette Sisters.
Now is the time for each lover to come to the aid of his heart. With love everywhere, romance in the air. Now is the time to start. So come to my arms, I'll be waiting. Oh, come, let us kiss tenderly. Now's the time of year when birds and bees are mating. Now's the time to give your love to me. Now is the time for each lover to come to the aid of his heart. With love everywhere, romance in the air, now is the time to start. So come to my arms, I'll be waiting. Oh, come, let us kiss tenderly. Now's the time of year when birds and bees are mating. Now's the time to give your love. Now's the time to give your love. Now's the time to give your love to me.
The Paulette Sisters, Gloria, Jane, and Betty, from Parts Unknown. They had a pretty good career from the mid-40s to the early 60s, mainly working with other artists like Mitch Miller and Percy Faith, Connie Boswell, and actually they were her protégés. She helped guide their development, and there in 1955 recording Now Is the Time, they were backed up by the Sid Feller Orchestra. Well, this next duet said they became accidental stars when their famous recording cracked the top five in 1956. That was a remake of Tonight You Belong to Me by Patience and Prudence. Here they sing The Money Tree.
Pull up an easy chair and sit yourself down and lean back. While we tell you about the folks who live in the town of Greenback. They never had to work on hands and knees. Plus they live in a place where money grows on trees. Oh, the money tree, the money tree. It's a beautiful sight to see. Why couldn't it happen to you and me? There isn't a person in town who isn't a legal spinder. And they never were found for lack of that legal tinder. They're all 10 years ahead on their income tax. And the whole town's driving next year's Cadillacs. Oh, the money tree, the money tree. It's a beautiful sight to see. Why couldn't it happen to you and me? Well, it grows fresh new bills that snap and crack. As fast as you pick them, it grows them back. Every day there's a bumper crop with a $1 million bill way up on top. Just one way to visit the town of Greenback. Pull up an easy chair and sit yourself down and lean back. Then close your eyes and suddenly you will see that beautiful, lovely, wonderful money tree. Oh, the money tree, the money tree. It's a beautiful sight to see. Why couldn't it happen to you and me? Couldn't it happen to you and me?
There's the L.A. sisters, Patience and Prudence McIntyre. Their father, Mark McIntyre, was an orchestra leader who took his daughters, age 14 and 11 at the time, to Liberty Record Studios in L.A., and he just had them do a demo of Tonight You Belong to Me. Well, the record took off. It hit number 4 on the charts, and the girls became famous, but they really didn't want to be performers, and they said the stardom didn't mean much to them because they didn't work for it. They didn't earn it. And their father really didn't want them to be in the spotlight anyway, so he turned down a lot of offers. But they did record a number of songs over the next few years, and that was one of them, The Money Tree, with their dad's orchestra backing them up. Yeah, the girls rule today on Seems Like Old Times. We're rounding the turn and heading for home on today's Seems Like Old Times. And as we hit the far post, I want to remind you about the webpage. It is oldtimesradio.com. Go there to find our show's schedule, list of affiliates, and of course the Listen Now page where you can hear previous shows on demand. Social media, it seems like old times on Facebook and X. And the email, Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at oldtimesradio.com. All right, let's get to our final girl group of the day. These ladies came from the Lawrence Welk Show, the Lennon Sisters.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. Can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you were smiling then, but I can't remember where or when. Some things that happen for the first time seem to be happening again and again. And so it seems that we have met before, and loved before, but who knows where or when. Some things that happen for the first time seem to be happening.
The Lennon Sisters, Diane, Peggy, Kathy, and Janet. Where or when? They made that recording in 1969. And you know the group is still performing 70 years after they debuted on the Lawrence Welk Show. Diane and Peggy have retired, but Kathy and Janet are still singing along with their youngest sister, Mimi. The Lennon Sisters, one of the girl groups on this Seems Like Old Times. And we have some leftovers, so we'll do a part two in a later episode. And now, we're up to the number one song from this final weekend of April in 1958. And in our world of 67 years ago, the average income was about $4,600, the minimum wage, $1 an hour. The median price for a new home was about $19,000. That'd be a shade under $200,000 today. And a gallon of gasoline was going for 25 cents. Unemployment here in April was 7.4%. That was caused by the recession that began in the summer of 57. But the jobless numbers would start coming down after the summer of 58. Also here in 58, the baby boom came to an end, and an 11-year decline in the birth rate began. Well, new in the funny pages, the comic strip BC, created by Johnny Hart, that first appeared on February 17th. First-class mail doubled in price from 3 cents to 6 cents on February 28th. Well, late-season snowstorm hit the mid-Atlantic on March 20th. White stuff threw a blanket from North Carolina to Maine, the heaviest parts over the D.C. to New York City corridor. There was about 2 feet in that swath, including Morgantown, Pennsylvania. They were hit hardest with 50 inches. And unseasonably cool temperatures kept D.C. cherry blossoms from blooming until April 18th. That's the latest ever. Well, some Hollywood tragedy. March 22nd, a plane crash killed movie director Mike Todd. His wife, Elizabeth Taylor, was supposed to go on the trip also, but she stayed home with a cold. More from Hollywood. April 4th, Cheryl Crane, the daughter of actress Lana Turner, stabbed and killed her mother's gangster boyfriend, Johnny Stompanato, who would later be ruled self-defense. And March 24th became Black Monday for fans of Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley no longer has that rock and roll beat. The tempo is hop, two, three, four for Private Presley. He's at Camp Chaffee, Arkansas, beginning his two-year Army hitch courtesy of the Memphis Draft Board. Like any ex-civilian raw recruit, the king of rock and roll will be keeping time to non-hip bugle calls. Involuntarily retired, the gyrating guitarist's departure from the public eye left his Blue Jean fans all shook up, so we hear. But Elvis doesn't seem to mind at all.
Ed Herlihy for the Universal Newsreel on the induction of Elvis Presley into the U.S. Army, March 24, 1958. And on the Billboard Disc Jockey chart this final weekend of April, 1958, the number one song was by a 14-year-old English schoolboy. This is Laurie London.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
London never took a singing lesson or music lesson, but he was always singing around his house. One day he and his friends were watching a broadcast at the BBC, and Laurie elbowed his way onto the stage. He asked the guitarist who was performing if he could sing on TV. Well, the guitarist said sure, and Laurie's performance caused a minor sensation. They quickly got him into the studio, and one of the songs he recorded was that one. He's got the whole world in his hands. A 13-year-old English teenager with a Jewish background doing a black spiritual. You just can't make that up. He was accompanied by the Jeff Love Orchestra, a multi-million selling record, and was spending one of its 4 weeks at number one on the Billboard Disc Jockey chart this week in 1958. And that's it for this week's show, everybody. We are all out of time. It's been great having you here, and I'll look forward to you coming back next week. And until then, this is Craig Orndorff saying so long for Seems Like Old Times.